fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
It's time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Bison win it, and we'll talk about it on Legend of the Loudmouth. Grant, how we doing?
I'm tired.
Long day, we got baseball tryouts going on,
yeah,
so opening night, spring break coming back from it, now that all you kids are slacking back.
No, I got Easter right next week. So, I mean...
Easter break's next week already?
Yeah, the teacher getting vaccinated Wednesday, Thursday.
Well, that's right. They get
Friday off.
Shot numero dos. Actually, I get my second shot, and you will make your second shot. Coming up here next week, too, as a matter of fact. So, I'm going to be COVID-free, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, unlike some teams in the Missouri Valley Football Conference.
Well, one.
Well, at least one, anyway. We'll recap NDSU-UND. We will talk about some other surprising results in the FCS this weekend, including the end of Northern Iowa.
The end of Northern Iowa.
The inexplicable destruction of Southern Illinois. The continued success of the Slapnut Sisters of the Poor.
Oh.
And more as we review the FCS weekend that was. We will also talk about Illinois State. What was your favorite moment of Illinois State season?
Well, they're gone.
If their season ended today, and it did, we'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll talk about the NCAA tournament. Oral Roberts is in the Sweet 16.
Do not mention those two words to me.
And I can't believe that. I can't believe what I just saw. But, anyway. It was unexpected, but yet, when you get right down to it, was it really expected?
Did I not call it on the show the Bison will win this game? Did I not? I think I did.
I think you did. I think we both did, actually. I wasn't probably as strong as you.
I was pretty sure we were going from after the Illinois game. They're going to it.
I thought that the Bison would win, but I did not think it would be as decisive as it turned out to be.
I did.
Decisive is the word. And in every sense of the word, decisive, the Bison dominated the lines of scrimmage, the skill positions, and most definitely the coaching scenarios. Okay? You've really got to try hard to be as much of a screw-up as Bubba Schweigert is running that team. Okay? We're going to go through the game.
When you jump on McFeely, too.
There's a special place in hell for McFeely. But Bubba Schweigert has got an incredibly
nervous little clown is what
talented running back who's probably, and let's preface this, even though the Bison won decisively, and there's no question who the best running back on the field was, and that's Hunter Luepke.
Yeah.
I'll put Otis Way in the conversation with any back I've seen in the last decade of Bison opponents.
James Robinson?
I'll tell you what.
Zach Zenner?
If you go back and look, no, definitely not Zach Zenner. Zach Zenner never had good games against the Bison.
He had one.
the pinnacle of performances against Bison in the D1 era is still the James Madison legend, Khalil Abdullah. Best running back I've ever seen against NDSU, without question.
Mm-hmm.
Otis Wee has that wiggle that I really like. And he's a talented back. All right? But it doesn't matter how talented a back you are if your coach is a moron.
Okay? Best thing you'd ever assign to an extension. Best thing.
Greatest thing ever. Because there's no way with Bubba Schweigert at the helm that I will ever again take a UND team seriously as a championship contender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For reasons that will be evident as we go during the recap of this game.
Mm-hmm.
But they start with Otis Wea. And it would seem to me in a game where you are, according to dipshit McFeely, the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm. One.
According to Mike. One. Not two. Not
one.
Three.
One.
Better than James Madison, I was told.
And
I was told UND was better than James Madison. What, did I hear that right?
You did.
Okay. I was told UND was going to win by two touchdowns.
Two.
27-14. That they were athletically superior to the Bison.
Mm-hmm.
And this man is paid to write about college football.
Paid.
Real American dollars.
In cash.
You've got to be shitting me. You've got to be shitting
me.
There's
one more thing I would say to the people in Vegas. Never bet against the Bison at home. Never bet them lose against UAN.
And they did. They didn't. Bison were favored.
They were favored.
But according to McFeely, that was wrong.
But to the people who want to bet UND, never bet against the Bison at home. Ever. They haven't lost a home game in 5 years. What makes you think they're going to lose one now? It's because it's UND? I was never worried that they were not going to win that game. I think NDSU was going to win it from the drop of the green flag. They were just going to win.
Well, NASCAR race started all of a
sudden? Yes, it did.
Oh, okay.
Well, it kind of did. I mean, 50 seconds in.
Well, if it was a NASCAR race, then UND's caution flag came out pretty early.
The Bison won the first stage, right?
The Bison won every stage in this game. Every stage. All right? The Bison dominated every key statistic that you need to analyze, okay? And, again, dipshit McFeely saying that the FCS season is ruined because the Bison win. Too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad.
They're the dynasty. Sorry you had to write about it. They're just better than everybody
Mike
else.
McFeely, UND is the favorite despite what the odds makers say. There we go. Alright. Starting quarterback Zeb Nolan has not panned out as the coaching staff at all. Fair point. NDSU's offensive line nearly isn't what it is it been in the past in terms of talent,
depth, and experience.
Fair point. An injury to starting safety Dawson Weber has tossed young Dom Jones into the fire. Well, all he did was pick off passes the last 2 weeks.
Pretty damn good.
Young cornerback Jaden Price has had his issues, which include an 85-yard punt return touchdown.
And an interception in Central Arkansas.
So there you go. All right. UND comes to the Fargo Dome on a roll, he said. Its offense is excellent, he said. The FBS-level talent of running back Otis Wea, he said. And the steady playmaking of young quarterback Tommy Schuster, who threw for 50% and got picked off. Its defense is filled with players who've played a ton of snaps and have talent. That defense may have talent, but not on display on Saturday.
They're the smallest defensive line.
The Fighting Hawks, are ranked number 2 in the country and deserve to be ahead of James Madison at number 1. Honestly. Are you kidding me? The number one team in the country, so to speak, went 1-for-10 on third down.
They're 1-for-13 on third down.
They're 1-for-13 on third and fourth down.
Oh, and fourth down, my bad.
UND was 0-for-3 on fourth down. Didn't sniff the first down on any three of those plays.
Mm-hmm. And on one of them was a fake punt.
Right. And the only third down they did pick, and the fourth down, excuse me, that they did pick up on a fourth and one on an offside penalty. I guess. Was that a third down?
Fourth down. One via penalty.
The number one team in the FCS gave up 316 rushing yards.
Two-thirds.
Lost the time of possession battle 36 minutes to 23 and got outgained 456 to 304. The number one team in FCS.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously? The man covers the game for a living.
Be smarter than that.
Stick to politics, Mike. Stick to politics. Stick to the progressive tweets. Stick to taking shots at North Dakota's congressional delegation. I don't care. I'm fine with that. You want to do that? That's fine. But don't come in here and tell me no dick about FCS football. Okay? McFeely managed to pick incorrectly this game. And he decided to lay a lot of money on, oh, Southern Illinois, they're going to be great. Really. They got dusted.
By South Dakota State.
They got dusted by the men from Brookings, which we'll get into later. And then he picked Oral Roberts to not be a factor in that game, and I'm going to learn the Sweet 16. So, McFeely's week is a little rough. And, of course, he's firing back on Twitter because he has nothing better to do. And then, of course, on the Sunday night chat on the forum communications blog, he's all in there trying to turn this into the Bison should go FBS now because they beat, you know, UND. And, of course, we're back to the same argument. Yeah, can't wait to frickin' play Utah State. Can't wait for those big rivalries against Fresno.
And his reaction was?
None.
I got nothing.
Mike McFeely has left the chat.
Pathetic coward.
Pathetic coward. Seriously. McFeely, you don't know shit about what you're talking about. Okay? It's all a troll act. Professional contrarian bullshit. It's all smoke and mirror bullshit. And you know why? Because you can't generate enough clicks with the shitty articles you write now. 2 weeks from now, Mike will come on Monday or Tuesday, it's just a matter of when, and pick South Dakota State to beat NDSU. It is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
It will happen. There's no question that's going to happen.
It's just bulletin board material for the Bison, then.
Well, he did a pretty good job of it this week.
This guy doesn't think we're good enough.
And the Bison, who are never supposed to be able to play the nobody believed in this card, absolutely did.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And oh yeah, they did. That'll
oh yeah,
great.
They did. Bison get the ball to start the game. And admittedly, it was not a good start.
No.
In a couple of ugly incompletions.
They got pass happy to start the game. I never liked that.
But the most underrated play in the entire game happened on 3rd and 10 at their own 25, the third play of the game, and Nolan zips one to Christian Watson for 20 yards and a first down. Okay.
Big play.
Moves the chains, sets up 1st and 10 at the 45. And then Hunter Lupke took over. Simple for old back run, right? No problem.
Easy to stop, right? It's UND. It can stop anything. Right?
Little crease.
Bye-bye.
40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, and touchdown. Almost got tripped up.
Put him up.
After further review, the ruling on the field is reversed. Touchdown.
He outran the safeties. That's how fast the dude is for a fullback. He outran the UND secondary. This great secondary. Got burnt on that ball.
Time for a little stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Okay, good. All right.
Hunter Lubke, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fullback.
Listed on your first on your fullback depth chart, number one in your hearts, had a huge game. This just in. Spoiler alert, he's good.
He's good.
Hunter Lupke had 28 carries in the game. Okay? Under 90 yards.
Mm-hmm. More than Otis Way.
Or 191, depending on how you count.
More than Otis Way.
Okay? Of those 27 runs, 28 runs, I should say. Over half of those carries were for 5 yards or more. Let me give you the breakdown. Okay? He gained no yardage on 3 carries. 1 yard on one carry, 2 yards on three carries, 3 yards on three carries, 4 yards on one carry, 5 carries for 5 yards, 3 carries for 6, 2 carries for 7, 2 carries for 8, 2 carries for 9, and then 11, 13, and the 55-yarder we just referred to. Right? They didn't stop him for a loss of yardage on any play. One of the no-yard runs is one where he tripped.
Where Hunter Brozio made the tackle.
Right.
And he plays on the...
He plays for us.
Yeah.
All right. Also caught a couple of passes, did he not? At least one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. UND goes 3-0. Not a very impressive drive.
Shocking.
Bison go down, and of course, Zeb Nolan throws the inevitable tip interception.
Well, that's not his fault. He put that in a great spot for Chris to watch. It should have.
Do you think if the Bison score there, it
game
gets
over,
uglier?
Game over. Game over right there.
So it gets picked.
Ball game.
Tip ball gets picked off. Not totally sure he was all the way in the end zone, but whatever.
He would have scored if he held on to it.
No, I'm talking about the UND guy picking the ball off. They did bring it out to the 20, a touchdown.
Yeah, but that was pretty close. Looked like he's down for one, but yeah.
UND gets the turnover and moves it to the NDSU 38. And fourth and one on the 38, and this is where UND's lack of a physical big back kills them.
Mm-hmm.
Otis Wee gets the ball on fourth and one and literally goes into the John Elway airplane spin.
He goes in the helicopter.
Right.
It comes up with not a first down.
And gets parallel. Yeah, gets parallel to the line of scrimmage and doesn't get anything.
The fact they bring the chains out was even more, because he was like a yard short.
UND has always had, in the last several years, kind of their 1 yard. They've had a James Johannesson whose one ability that he has in his entire career was to run straight ahead.
Mm-hmm.
he was not a cut guy. Jimmy, you know how they got some guys are one cut runners? He's a no cut runner.
Just go.
He's like Herschel Walker. You start him in the backfield and he goes one direction and there is no cut. He is straight ahead.
Hey, well, Herschel Walker was bigger and more powerful than you, but
correct. Same principle applies though.
James Johannesson.
No shit. Straight ahead. James Johannesson and Ty Brooks were in the same backfield.
Yeah,
I'll take Ty Brooks every
Ty Brooks wins that race.
Single time. All right.
He had a better career than James did.
So we get stuffed. Bison take over. Get to the UND 48. After a couple of nice, Kobe runs and Christian Watson runs.
Like, oh, game over right here.
And then Zeb throws another one of those just head-scratching Brett Favre-type interceptions that he throws. You're like, really, Zeb?
He must pick that great downfield play that just kind of wow everybody.
And it doesn't even come close.
No, the guy did sort of jump the route, too. He was in front of Christian the entire time.
And so on the next play, rips off his 74-yard touchdown run. The only real big run he had all day.
But he's a great cutback runner.
Yeah.
UND runs that shotgun stretch play to the left, and then you see that cutback, and he is gone.
Absolutely gone.
Dom Jones did a horrible job trying to catch him at midfield, but oh, whatever.
So Otis Wee scores.
Puts the horns down.
Yeah, does the horns down thing, which was,
Which pisses everybody else off.
And also, I would highly recommend not using that. When you're not going to get back to the end zone that day, you might want to reconsider
that. Yeah, might put that away. But then your kicker, Shank Eponymous, is the extra point.
Absolutely shanks.
Or duck hook, right?
Yeah, that's a right-hander slice.
Or look like your pitching wedge. You know?
Right-handed slice, completely missing.
Missed the pin by about 15 feet.
This is not the NFL. This is a 20-yard kick.
I could probably make a 20-yard field goal.
Well,
yeah, I probably. You can make a 20-yard field goal.
Well, maybe they should have had Pablo Nunez-Perez out there kicking, because that kick sucked. And all the momentum of the long touchdown and everything
was just gone.
It disappears.
7-6 Bison.
Here's the Otis Wade problem again. All right? We in the game has 13 carries, 129 yards,
only
and a touchdown.
Only 13 carries.
That's the problem.
Only 13 carries.
Fortunately, and he ran for 100 yards in the first half. But only 12 carries for 55 yards if you take away the one big run. Which I know you don't, but this will be a factor here later in the game. So his first half carries, okay, this is where it gets relevant. He had carries of 2, 3, 0, 74. And then 6-5, 13-6. All right. Why is that significant? The Bison come back on the drive ensuing after the touchdown.
And they got pissed.
16 plays, 82 yards. Dominic Gunella, who is probably going to be the starting running back now with injury to Kobe, rips off some nice touchdown, or nice runs. Hunter Luepke completes touchdown number two. By the way, you started Hunter Luepke in fantasy this week. Nice work.
You kicked ass.
8-yard touchdown run. It's 14-6.
Almost untouched.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely. And that was another one of those chew-em-up drives.
Yep. Standard Bison drives.
UND comes back. They get the ball to the NDSU 31. A couple nice throws to Dalton Gee and Jake Richter. And they get to 4th and 8 at the NDSU 31 and call this inexplicably shitty crossing route.
So let's go for it.
Well, your kicker obviously can't hit from 20, so you're not going to try him from 48.
And you can't punt there, so what do you really have to gain by that? I get the understanding to go for it, but that play call is not the answer right there.
I get the understanding to go for it. Yeah. I hate it.
The play call is mind-boggling.
And Schuster threw behind several receivers in the game.
Yep.
Including his boy Garrett Mudd.
Okay.
And didn't look good doing it.
No.
So
Mog had one catch for 20 yards in the whole game.
One catch in the entire game.
Josh Hayes blanketed him.
Bison get the ball back, don't do anything with it, and punt. And then UND picks a really bad time to go into a mental meltdown where they get not one, but two false starts in a row.
Not a good thing to do in the dome.
It's just coaching. And you're 1st and 20, inside your own, now you've backed yourself up. Wea gets off a nice run for 13, and they punt. Bison punt, nothing really going on, UND punts. Bison take over at their own 28, and there's 2.5 minutes to go. UND won the toss and elected to not kick ass. Mm-hmm. They deferred. So the Bison have to hit, find something. Ganella gets a nice little run for 9. And then Nolan.
And then that damn Zed Nolan that's end of half.
Finds his end of half magic bean yet again and throws the magic bean to Christian Watson, who may have pushed off.
Yeah.
But he's so big, how would you know?
Yeah.
With a complete size mismatch on the UND defender. And winds up getting the ball. It looked very Randy Moss-like, where he danced away from the two guys. And
he is gone.
The ball game is essentially over at 21-6.
It's 14-6 at the half. We can come back. That's like 8 points. We're good. You add 7 more. That's not the way to go into the half.
Now it's 21-6. Okay. Now you got problems.
You do.
You get the ball to start the second half, and to Bubba's credit, they came out and put a drive together. Now, it was helped by a couple of things. One, the kickoff return, which the Bison fell asleep on.
Good kickoff return.
Yeah, got all the way out to the UND 45. And then on 4th and 1 from the Bison 46,
don't go offside.
Eli Mostert jumps offside, first down.
I hate that.
And then it's Mog makes his catch.
One catch.
For 20. And then they get the corner route to Belquist, and it's 21-13.
Nice route, though. Yeah. He beat that coverage.
Here's back to the Otis Wade point. Otis Wade carried the ball on that drive. He had 5 carries the entire second half.
5.
6, 3, 0, 0, and 11 yards. He had no carries the final 7 minutes of the first half. And he had 5 carries in the entire second half.
That's just piss poor calling good coaching.
37 minutes of football, your best offensive player touched the ball 5 times and gained a grand whopping total of 20 yards. 20 yards. Your best offensive player. The best back in the FBS level talent back, I was told.
Mm-hmm.
And no offense to the kid, he was too dumb to get into school last year. He was academically ineligible. Okay? But he's a talent.
He's good.
Otherwise, there's no question he would have. I'm going to tell you that if he would have been academically eligible and they saw and they weren't so loaded at running back, Otis Wade would have been a Bison.
Mm-hmm.
No question. With Feeney there and everything else and Moorhead, there's no question that Otis.
He's a Moorhead guy? I didn't know that.
Dynamite drop in there, Monty.
I'm saying I didn't know that.
Moorhead guy.
It's like Shaq's in the Warriors played They play in Oakland? I didn't know that.
The Feeney-UND connection is going to be strong for a while here because, you know, his kid's going to play for UND too.
Yeah.
And experience 4 years of Missouri Valley
construction. If you're not going to play for the Bison, why would you think you could play at UND and be just as good?
Well, because Tommy Schuster, who's from Macomb, Michigan, by the way.
Not Illinois. The country club's probably a bit nicer up there.
Probably. Man. That's awful. Anyway. So, they get the touchdown. The Bison come back. And a pivotal point in the game, it's 3rd and 9 at the Bison 37. And a nice call by the officials. Pass interference on Devin Kanuski, who basically, for terms UND fans can understand, throws the body check at Raja Nelson. That's 2 minutes for roughing. Cross-checking, whatever you want to call it.
That's a minor.
That's a minor penalty. It's a power play. 4-7-7, Rick. The Bison get the power play. By the way, I've never seen so many TJ Oshie shirts and hockey jerseys at a football game.
Did you see Zach Parise jersey anymore? No.
I mostly saw the Oshie one because they like Oshie. He's their boy.
Yeah.
And they get a big.
And he wants a lot of money to the Fargo Force, and he's such a nice guy.
Seriously.
And who cares? That's Matt Cullen.
No UND football fan that I didn't see one UND football jersey anywhere.
Saw,
was, oh, there was
a
one?
There were a couple.
There's at least one token one?
Yeah.
Yay.
There was a black 84 one.
That like, seriously? Hockey jerseys.
At a football game. Did you see they tore down Memorial Stadium, by the way? That was pretty classy.
I had a lot of good memories in that stadium.
Yeah. You were there for a couple games, right?
You dragged the nickel out of there, though. We drove the nickel up to Grand Forks.
You did?
Yes. I've told this story before.
No.
You never heard that story?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Well, the story can be told. So, we'll make a brief sidebar from the game here for this.
These two teams just play for a trophy.
It's time for Bison flashbacks. Anyway.
These two teams just play for like called the Nickel Trophy when North Coast called the Fighting Sioux.
Right.
And
you're not allowed to say that, by the way.
Well, I just did. But there used to be a Bison on one side, a Fighting on the back. And that was a thing they played for until 2003 when they retired the trophy.
So there was a tradition of stealing the Nickel Trophy.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Didn't think we'd take it to the Grand Canyon one time. I mean, I've heard some weird stories.
So, in the illustrious year of our Lord, 1998, 1997, somewhere in there.
When was the last time we beat them, like in the D2 era?
The Nickel Trophy was purloined from Grand Forks by a very innovative friend of mine who... And this was what the best part of the story is. And I may be leaving some details out. But a couple of the guys that I know, they dressed up as UND maintenance staff workers.
Nice.
Where the nickel was being held. And of course, we're able to get in, get access to the nickel, and get it out in a pickup truck.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad security for a pretty big trophy.
So the nickel shows up, and I'm in my office in the I was in student government at NDSU.
He had an office, ladies and gentlemen.
The office is right next to the Memorial Union Ballroom.
Ballroom. This place had a ballroom.
And I am working late in the evening, the week of the game, and I am told that I need to come see something.
Oh.
Like what? Like, we got something here you might want to see. I'm interested. I think it was called the Badlands Room or whatever it was called in there. And there's the Nickel Trophy right in front of me. I'm like, holy. And Blue Key Honor Fraternity, who sponsored the Nickel, two of their members and good friends of mine, had stolen it. So, of course, then the news reaches the media the next day. And the student body president, who was a fraternity brother of mine, we decided that since we had to go to Grand Forks, we had a North Dakota State Student Association meeting that weekend, the Bison Sioux game in Grand Forks. So we've got a state fleet Ford Taurus.
Ford Taurus.
And the gentlemen that stole the nickel are trying to figure out how do we get it up to Grand Forks. They had made assurances to the UND athletic director, Terry Wanless, that the nickel would be returned prior to the game. But of course, they did not want anyone to know who had taken the nickel. So being representatives of student government, myself, my fraternity brother, Jason Isaacson, who was president of the UN of the NDSU student body, and my friend Mike Schnell, who works for the Rochester Chamber of Commerce now, the three of us had a leather case with the nickel trophy in the back of in the trunk of the Ford Taurus. As we were driving up to Grand Forks that Friday for the Student Association meeting, we have NDSU stickers on the car.
Oh.
Of course, because it's a state fleet vehicle.
Uh-huh.
We get passed on the way up by some UND people with UND stickers on there, giving us the finger out the window and pointing to our car. And the sheer irony of laughing that I know that I've got the nickel trophy in my car.
That you were driving.
That I'm driving. It is hilarious to me. So we get to the hotel in Grand Forks that Friday. And lo and behold, as we check into the hotel, as I remember the story, because I was not there for this part of it.
Uh-oh.
Grand Forks' Johnny Laws show up. Grand Forks PD.
Oh, shit.
Alerted to the fact that we were coming, shows up at the hotel with Athletic Director Terry Wanless, wondering, we were promised the nickel. Where is it?
You have it, don't you?
Yep.
You have the nickel.
In the car with the keys that I have. Whoops.
You had the nickel the whole time.
We have the nickel in the car.
Which Mark Hubbard's currently driving.
No, well, and again, I was not there for this part because I was actually at the Student Association meeting when it happened. But apparently they told Ike, which we called Jason Isaacson, they made an exchange. And the nickel was safely returned to the UND Athletic Department that Friday so it could be taken out on the field on Saturday. Which, of course, was marvelous because the next day, the Bison went out and kicked the shit out of UND.
Well, they won that game.
And won that game and we took it back amidst a whole bunch of beer cans, whiskey bottles, and a few other things in the Memorial Stadium dumpster that day. And I still remember to this day, because this was after the flood, so this would have been 98.
Yeah.
After the flood, Memorial Stadium had one of those with the track around it.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And there were sandbags still at various points on the track to hold things down or be used as markers.
Yeah.
One of the Liquid Courage guys who was notorious for his behavior at football games, after the score got a little out of hand, and I think I want to say it was like 34-10. It was an ass kicking. This would have been 97 or 98. Runs around the field on the UND student side yelling, and this was again. Keep in mind, in 97, Grand Forks was completely destroyed, basically, by the flood.
Ooh.
Underwater, everything burned, da-da-da.
You're 31-10.
31-10, okay, so I was close.
Yeah, you're good.
The gentleman runs around the track with the foam nickel up, yelling out, "Our Dykes held! Our Dykes held!" And it was one of the greatest moments of my college career. So not only did we steal the nickel, brought it back, then we took it legitimately. So, one of the greatest 48-hour periods of my ever being a student at NDSU.
Please tell me you held it once it was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere there is photographic evidence of me holding the nickel. I don't know. I don't have a picture myself, but somewhere.
It's like someone's dealing with the Dakota marker now. Like that's like, you can't do that.
Somewhere out there, there's a picture of me with folks standing around the nickel and singing, the traditional song, "On the Plains of North Dakota,"
yeah.
Standing there for all to see.
Yeah.
Stands an old abandoned outhouse, and they call it UND. Hail the Bison, with their tails in the air. University, you can kiss what's under there. Yes. Bison once, Bison twice, etc.
Okay. Yes.
Anyway, you're welcome.
Anyway.
This ends Bison Flashback with Mark Hubbard. All right.
Anyway, back to the actual game,
okay? So, then the greatest run of the season happens. After Ganella gets a few runs, Zeb Noland wheels using his Kirk Cousins karma from that number 8 that he wears.
It runs for 4 yards.
Yes. And gets a first down on a sneak.
Yay.
And then Hunter Lupke drags the entire population of Grand Forks across the goal line.
Grand Forks Community College into the end zone.
GFCC doesn't have anybody that's going to tackle Hunter Lupke in this play. It is a absolute one of those runs. It was like the John Crockett run against Sam Houston. It was like...
Did you try to mention that he was still standing when he scored?
Right. They never actually tackled him.
Yeah. Because he gets in there. There's three safeties around him. He drives through all three of them. Then the UND defensive lineman come in. Still can't tackle and scores.
Pathetic defense. Great run by Lupke. Pathetic tackling by UND.
See Zeb trying to get a hand in there. And that's... Watching Zeb trying to block might be more
Zeb, keep your hands out of there. UND takes over. At this point now, they have to make something happen. They're down 28-13. And they get a first down.
Yeah, good for you.
And get to their own 41. It's 4th and 9. Bubba calls
so
the
fake. Let's go
at the fake punt.
and he throws it for
UND fans bitching to know it. That there's pass interference.
Well, guess what?
Can't do it on a punt.
Yeah, according to the NCAA rulebook and the NFL rulebook,
it's the NCAA rulebook.
There cannot be pass interference on a punt when the punter throws a pass.
Because it simulates a kick. The gunner has no way to tell because his back is turned as to if it's kicked.
Well, they knew though.
The defensive player.
Ah.
The defensive player's got no friggin' idea.
Yeah, Josh Hayes is 10 yards behind Belquist right. when he still breaks the play out.
So, can't be a personal foul or can't be a pass interference.
So you can legally abuse the receiver on that.
Get over it, UND fans. All 12 of you that aren't watching hockey.
Did they meet American yet? Or are we?
No, we're going to play that theme song on Thursday.
Oh, okay, good.
So, Bison take over. And they get to the UND 41, where Lupke lugs it a few more times. And it's just enough to get into field goal range. And Griffin Krosa, who has been clutch when he's come in. 41-yard field goal, and it easily would have been good from
42. Just gets it over.
That ball absolutely ran out of gas like an old Ford Pinto. It just died right when it got over the bar. Still counts for 3 points.
Still does. Otherwise, it's good.
It's 31-13. UND goes 3 and out punt. Bison go 3 and out punt. Now you're down to the fourth quarter. You're down to 10.5 minutes to go. All right? Wee's last carry of the game comes, and he gets 11 yards. And then, of course, it's time for Tommy Schuster to sling it all over the field, which also happens to be where Dom Jones is. Jones picks it off, does a nice little dance, and nearly scores.
And he plays for the other team.
Right, and he plays for us.
that lineman put a hit stick move on Dom Jones.
At this point, it really doesn't even matter if the Bison score. But
we wanted another six. Yeah,
they slam Lupke into the line twice. They try to run the end around, which by this time they've seen it a few times, the Watson play. Kroos is good from 35, which really doesn't matter.
We'll give him up 40. So, yeah,
so now you're halfway through the fourth quarter. UND goes 3 and out on their last series. And then the Bison...
run the remaining 6:25 yep. off the clock.
And here's what happens. Ganella for 8, Lupke for 2. Ganella for 8, Ganella for 3, Lupke for 7, Ganella for 2. And then Ganella rips off a 39-yarder.
There is your dagger.
And then they give it to T.K. Marshall just to say that he's had a token carry. Because his name is T.K. Marshall. One carry, no game. Kneel.
Sad.
Game.
That drive started on their own 2-yard line, by the way. And they ran the rest of the clock out with it. That's amazing.
Bison converted 7 of 13 on third down.
Pretty good.
What are the third downs they converted? They were 10, 3, 2, 2, 9 on a penalty. 5, 1, and that's it.
That's pretty good for third down yardage. That's not bad.
They didn't convert on third downs of 10, 4, 7, 8, and 5.
So it makes bad.
Second down and third down were such big downs for NDSU in this game. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because first down was now second and six.
Not second.
Second and seven.
Not second and eight.
Second and five. You look at these runs that Lupke had. How many times did that put him in second and five, second
pretty
and
often.
Six? The difference of instead of slamming Kobe into the line for two and slamming Lupke in there for four.
Big difference.
Big difference. Okay. Bison run the ball 53 times, complete five passes. LT, who gets a boner on the telecast about the 55 thing, if they get a combination of 55 running plays plus completions, Tyler Roll thinks they're going to win every time.
Well, he's right most of the time. So.
Got to 58 here because what, Zeb complete five?
Yep.
Okay, Miller completed a few, right? No, no.
I don't think so. I don't know if he completed a pass or not.
Bussy did not.
He completed three passes.
Okay. So Bussy did not total. Play. He was hurt.
Supposed to. I don't know if he was hurt, though.
They said he was injured.
Somewhat.
They said
But he was in full uniform, and it's like, but you know, Matt's excuse is, well, but the way the game panned out, you know, we didn't want to use him and not make sure his recovery time is.
You know why he didn't use him? Because he's 5'5", 161, and the guy who's 6'1", 245 is crushing everybody on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
What happened to the vaunted UND defense? That's what I want to know.
They're soft.
They're soft, but the other thing is, I dare see a D-line that small. I mean, if UND thinks that is gonna stop NDSU.
Which makes me really wonder how Southern Illinois got beat by them so handily.
Exactly. Well, five turnover doesn't help.
Well, that's true. And we'll get to the Southern Illinois piece because that's what I want to come back to. They can't hang on to football. But it seems to me that if I'm... Let's take a look at the schedule. If I am Youngstown and I'm Missouri State...
The Bison just hand you the game plan to beat them.
And
run the ball.
I formation, baby. Let's go.
But
Youngstown's going to be...
They'll give them a...
That's going to be a game.
But with UND, that defensive line is so small. With the Bison, they have so many athletic linemen that they can pull guards. They can do anything they need to do. Double team the nose. If the Bison get to the nose, they got 4 or 5 yards of carry, it seemed like.
And Bison offensive line showed up big.
But when that UND defense line averages 220, 230, you ain't beating NDSU with that. Just the Bison is the perfect counterpunch to what UND wants to do.
Here's UND's other problem. First time they've been down by two scores all year.
Mm-hmm. You pointed that out pretty quickly.
Also shows you what happens when we can't be the focal. If they're behind, and you have to throw the football,
they're screwed.
UND can't generate that kind of offense.
They don't have a big playmaker as a receiver.
We is their big play guy.
Yeah.
Receiver-wise, they don't. Mog is supposed to be the guy.
The Belquist is okay, but they're
nice. They're cute little receivers.
They're good slot guys, but they're not. They're
but
not
they're the not. Guys. Even Cole Jacob, they're not big body size guys, and they have trouble creating separation in routes.
But
you saw the couple passes Schuster had, they had to be absolutely pinpoint perfect. And
but that's what I like when you stop is a quick strike, it's a quick get the ball out of the hands
and,
offense.
And you saw the Bison
it's
make
conservative football, and that's not the way you beat NDSU.
And you saw the Bison make good open field tackles.
Oh,
yeah, they missed a few, but they really contained.
They were really good.
You know, the bubble screens and the quick hitters. You know, they made a mistake on the cutback run that we had, but guys like that are going to get their yards. UND consistently gave the ball to Luke Skolma, which I didn't understand.
No, but they like him too, so.
He didn't add any value. He didn't add diddly-poo-dick to the offense.
Jeez.
I just wonder, is durability maybe an issue too?
Yeah,
because he took some shots. And I know they don't want to expose him to any hits in the spring season maybe as much. And maybe that's why the workload isn't as great. But you've got a chance to put the Bison dynasty on the ropes.
Yeah.
And you gave him the ball 5 goddamn times in the second half, and that's all you did?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're down by 50. You were only down 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Yeah, but
Bubba Schweigert, coach forever. We love.
Please, yes. It's at some point in the game, wasn't there a tweet you read? Bubba, they're going to run it. This other wants to yell in the crowd. They're going
to
run it.
And to close out the game, militant UND hockey fan sitting one row down from me and off to the left.
Oh, yeah, you did not like those.
Who was getting a little pissy during the game, complaining about his pass interference calls, which prompted the loudmouth to utter, "Stick to hockey."
So what do you say to those people then who think, oh, they won because of the officiating?
Bull.
Just saying.
Bull. I would never call a high stick at that point. Anyway.
there was no fighting in this game.
If you look at power play minutes, the Bison clearly had the edge.
Their shots on goal were higher. I mean,
right, they had puck possession most of the time. It's old-time hockey, okay? Bison clearly were the aggressive team.
They had 34 saves. They owned the clock. I mean,
they owned the neutral zone.
There are a couple blue line infractions.
I thought the Bison made better line changes throughout the game.
Their D line changes were great.
I thought their puck possession was important. You know, that's puck, when you're passing that puck from stick to tape to tape, that's the way you want to look, tic tac toe. Okay? All of a sudden that turned into a Hartford Whalers analyst. All right. So anyway, stick to hockey, UND. You guys can all go back to giving a shit about hockey now. And they're coming to Fargo this Friday. Yay!
It's American.
We'll talk about that on Thursday.
Yes, please.
Because
go American.
We're not going to waste too much time on it. But I got a feeling that the... we're going to play the Michigan fight song next on that. Or the Duluth fight song.
Yes, please.
Meanwhile, while this is going on, Southern Illinois lost its frigging mind.
South Dakota State
wins 44-3 over Southern Illinois.
Without Pierre Strong in the lineup.
Pierre Strong doesn't play. Isaiah Davis rips off 150 yards and 3 touchdowns.
What the hell?
Mark Gronowski, the freshman quarterback, rushes for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. They run for 400 goddamn yards against Southern Illinois. Outgained Southern Illinois by 464-213, so they double them up. And Southern Illinois actually led in this game 3-0. That little 44 unanswered point run by the Jackrabbits.
They went on a run.
Honestly.
44-3 run.
SIU put 4 quarterbacks take snaps.
4?
Yep.
4.
They had Lyles, they had Williams, they had Sly and the Family Stone Lebanowitz.
And?
And some other dude I didn't know.
Okay.
Javon Williams only had 49 yards. Devontae Cox had 50 in receiving. SIU's got a turnover problem. Okay? Guess which game this year they didn't turn the ball over in?
The Bison.
In their losses this year, okay, they turned it over 5 times against UND, and they turned it over 4 times here against SDSU. Okay? Even against UNI, they turned it over a couple times, and they turned it over a couple times against SEMO. They got a little bit of a problem with ball security. That's why they're not going to make the playoffs. It's because they can't hang on to the friggin' ball.
I wouldn't say that. I think they're a bubble team. I think they get in.
Yep.
You're telling me that if the Bison run the table, they don't get in?
I'm telling you, if Southern Illinois runs the table, they don't get in.
Well,
if the Bison are going to run the table, and then UND only has 1 loss and beat Southern Illinois. A third team from the Valley.
Good point.
And especially if South Dakota State wins, there's no way then that Southern Illinois is going to the playoffs. Nope. Because then SDSU and UND will be ahead of NDSU, which will be behind Southern, and then NDSU is not going because Southern Illinois beat the crap out of them. But Southern Illinois will have losses to South Dakota State and UND. The Valley now all comes down to April 3rd against South Dakota State and North Dakota State. The Jacks look good.
Winner gets the Valley, loser is probably still in the
play. So here's your situation now with the Valley. And let's add one more to this mix because we've eliminated 2 teams now in the past 2 days. 1 on the field, 1 off. Missouri State goes in to the garage door.
To see Cedar Falls and wins.
And wins the game. The first drive of the game, Missouri State scores a touchdown. 13 plays, 91 yards. UNI's Will McIlvain got the Rona, or was in the protocol. Couldn't play. The freshman kid comes in.
And sucks.
Can't move the offense for shit. And Missouri State, a 15-point underdog to Skeletor in the game. Missouri State's 3-1 in the conference. What? And wins. UNI is done at 2-3. Done. They're still ranked, but they're done.
Well, it's UNI. They love getting them ranked.
We said Youngstown would be tough. Oh, yeah. Oh, they beat USD 28-10. First win of the year for Youngstown. Illinois State goes into hosts the Warriors from Macomb. The Leathernecks. 17.5-point favorites. They win by 8. And to celebrate, they shut the program down. There'll be no further playing of football in Illinois State this year because they're too banged up and they can't play. Their defensive line depth is decimated, so they can't play any more football. So they have decided to suspend operations for the year. Any further games will be no contests. To that I say this. Seriously?
We'll just drop the mic and leave.
You said that you were going to play every freaking game on the schedule.
Anybody, anytime.
God, I'm angry tonight. That's every freaking game they said they were going
to
play.
Anybody, anytime, anywhere. As I was up to tweet from Illinois.
Until we're out of the playoffs.
Yep, and then we're done. I think Brock Back's a great coach. But
the mustache effed that one up.
The mustachioed man is out.
Honestly. Get a set, Spack, and play the game.
Get a set. You are pissed tonight.
I'm angry.
I have shows like that when you're pissed.
These effing coaches. And now they've deprived these young men of the opportunity to play. Oh, I know. We got to keep our guys healthy for fall. Then don't play in the spring.
Okay. Hey.
Don't play.
Okay. Never mind.
Why would they play the spring if there's no intent to finish it? And it's not even COVID related.
Yeah. If you're not competing for a title, why even be here?
You cowards, you pathetic cowards.
I mean, I don't know why the Montana school aren't playing. I mean, they can compete for a title. Eastern Washington's out here playing. Cal Poly's out here.
And now the Bison gets screwed again on this deal. Not only do they have to play Southern Illinois, who originally wasn't on the schedule because the Sycamores are a bunch of pansies. But now the South Dakota State Rabbits get 2 weeks to prepare for the Bison while the Bison got to go to South Dakota. Bullshit.
But
the Rona strikes again.
But doesn't it just fire you up as a competitor if you're in the SU?
You think I'm fired up right now?
No, not you, the players.
Oh. Sorry.
If you're a player and they get 2 weeks to look at you, but I got Hunter Lukey in the backfield. Doesn't matter what you do. My team is better than your team. I'm going to kick your ass anyways.
We'll see what happens. Around the FCS, Sam Houston destroys Lamar again. 62-7.
I'll never believe that Sam Houston State would beat somebody.
Kennesaw beats Dixie. Not a surprise. Maybe a little closer.
Who cares?
Chatty beats Furman, 2018. That's a big in the SoCon. The word. It's the word that you've heard.
Yes.
56-45 over Southeastern Louisiana. The word is for real. I'm telling you.
In the Southland, maybe.
In the Southland. Rhode Island has won two overtime games. Rhode Island beats the Undercufflers. Pretty much takes care of Albany's playoff hopes. And let's give it up for VMI, who could win the SoCon. They win over the hospital in overtime.
They rank 14th.
Yeah. UC Davis, apparently angry from the previous week, decimates Cal Poly.
Well, it's Cal Poly.
Jackson State loses to TJAC University.
To Alabama State.
Did you see Alabama State at the end of the game, by the way? They troll primetime by putting his picture up on the scoreboard and there's all his gear from the draft. It was great. And of course,
you're wearing your signing bonus.
Primetime got all pissed about that, too. And well, like, suck it up.
When you're as cocky as you are on the sideline and like you're going to beat everybody,
Eddie Eat Drink and Be Murray State continues their run of so much trouble in the OVC.
They're 4-0.
And they went in Jacksonville State, by number 8 one, by the way. So, Let me break down the bracketology for you briefly here, okay? Just back to our earlier points. Okay. Weber leads the Big Sky.
With two wins.
Yeah, they'll probably, they won't lose. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Well, JMU's on thin ice, so it's...
Kennesaw is going to win the Big South, more than likely.
Probably.
They just got their game against Gardner, Webb, whatever, the law firm canceled. We'll see if they finish. Colonial's interesting. Delaware did not play. Delaware, or Michigan.
Michigan, yes.
URI, we talked about Rhode Island, they're undefeated. Richmond and JMU are undefeated. Could be a mess in the city there.
In the CAA.
We talked about the Valley. That comes down to April 3rd. Okay? That comes down to April 3rd. Bison, Jax. Remember, right now, Bison and Jax and UND all have one conference loss. All right? Bison have beaten UND. If they beat South Dakota State, the Bison will be in first place with wins over their two nearest competitors. And if they were to win out, they're guaranteed sole possession of the Valley Championship.
And a top two seed.
And they've already beaten Missouri State, in case it comes down to that tiebreaker. And it won't. So, the Northeastern's going to get some slap like Duquesne. The Pioneer's going to get the usual San Diego. The Patriot League's going to get, like, who gives a shit state.
Colgate.
Ohio Valley, Murray and Jacksonville will play in 3 weeks to determine the conference champion there because they're both undefeated. VMI's got to play Chattanooga. That's going to determine the SoCon winner. Two big games in the Southland left. One of them's this weekend. The Word playing Nichols. And then in 3 weeks, Sammy and the Word wrap up the regular season. Only two ranked FCS games this next week. Going to be a little bit of a breather until we get really to the end here. When we get to the 3rd of April, that's where we're going to find out who's in or out. And I wonder, I just wonder if you and I will still be playing football at that point.
Oh.
You think so?
Yeah.
Don't be surprised.
If they don't, I won't be shocked.
If they are around at the
end. It's you and I. They don't have the balls to...
So rankings, so just to run through it quick, JMU 1, Bison move up to 2, Weber's 3, South Dakota State 4, and Sammy 5. All five of those teams got first place votes. JMU got 29, the Bison got 6, Weber and South Dakota State 2, and Sammy 1.
I hate poll people. Why is JMU starting number 1? They haven't played in 2 weeks.
UND 6, Jacksonville 7, Kennesaw moves to 8, Chatty to 9, SIU drops to 10. Delaware 11th at 2-0, Eastern Washington at 2-1 is 12, The Word at 13, and VMI at 14. UC Davis 15, Villanova 16, Nichols at 17, Rhode Island 18, Murray 19, Furman 20, Richmond 21, UNI still in the polls at 2-3, 22nd, Southeast Louisiana, New Hampshire at 0-1, 24. And Maine, the Black Bears.
What are they even doing in the top 25?
CAA is going to have a mess to contend with.
Again, what is with JMU still getting a majority of the first place votes? I don't understand that.
Interesting week coming up. Again, we spent most of the show talking football tonight. But relatively speaking, I think this has been one of the biggest movements in FBS this whole weekend. Or FCS football was this weekend. And so I think we need to spend the time to do it. Let's briefly, ever so briefly, talk about the minor basketball tournament that's going on these days. Well, Oral Roberts, baby, let's go.
No,
I don't. I can't believe that they're in the final six, the Sweet 16. They were this close to getting bounced by South Dakota State.
And the Bison.
They got a lousy call away from getting beaten by the Bison. And here they are with beating number 2 seed Ohio State. And then, turning around a couple days later, then they beat the Florida Gators. So Max Ames, Kevin O'Banner, my boy Carlos Juergens, RJ Glasper, Paul Mills, they're all in the final 16. And a date with the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Who they almost beat.
Who they almost beat earlier this year. You can't make this shit up. We'll do an extensive preview. The games are just ending as we record the show here, but
USC so is a pounding Kansas.
We've got Gonzaga and Creighton are going to meet in the West Region semis. USC and Oregon conference rematch coming up there. Should be interesting. The 6 and the 7
seed. Michigan, Florida State.
I'm big on Florida State.
As am I.
And
Loyola and Oregon State.
You were right about UCLA.
Oh yeah. Whoever gets to rise that first four game is going to make it to the Sweet 16.
And you were absolutely right about that.
UCLA and Bama.
This is weird to...
Houston and the Cuse.
It's weird to talk about Bama.
Houston and the Cuse to go at it.
Houston and the Cuse is an interesting game.
Syracuse is always going to turn it on in the tournament.
You got to love Bayheim.
Bayheim is fantastic.
So, yeah, one of these teams is going to make the Final Four. Loyola, Oregon State, Syracuse, or Houston. One of those four is definitely going to make the Final Four. That's the Midwest region. I had that Houston coming out of there.
Yeah, I did too.
Loyola, though, I told you they were going to get there. Oregon State, I just don't get. Man, they should have never won the Pac-12 tournament. Then they go out and they beat Liberty.
Oh, yeah, but then they smash.
And then they, State. Yeah, with Cunningham.
Yeah, hand it to Cade Cunningham. Yeah.
Who shoot or shoot, but yeah, ran out of clips. We mentioned Oral Roberts. Fortunately, this dream will probably end at least with Baylor if they get even further. Baylor looks like the real deal.
Oh, yeah. Team is a hog. My team is legit.
They disposed of Hartford rather easily. And Wisconsin, that game was never that close. Villanova's had the benefit now of beating up some mid-major. But now they've got to play without their best player, without Gillespie. And I don't see that happening. I think Loyola's going to the Final Eight.
Yeah, I can see that.
They've got this Porter Mosier, their coach, probably going to be moving on somewhere else to a bigger job. Boy, right now, Grant, I don't see much stopping Gonzaga-Baylor to make this happen.
I'd say Gonzaga-Baylor.
I mean, I think Florida State, again, our Final Four is completely intact.
We're the same.
So far, even with all the upsets, our Final Four is completely intact, which for those of you who did not listen last...
Gonzaga, Florida State... Houston.
Baylor.
And Baylor.
Yep. Our Final Four, but we both have the same Final Four. I have Gonzaga winning. Grant has Baylor winning. But we are getting there. Most likely team to come out of... If you had to pick a team, Grant, that is not Gonzaga or Baylor and not in our Final Four right now. So we can't pick Florida State or Houston either. Which of the... Give me one or two teams that you could see getting... I'd say getting to Indianapolis, but they're already there.
Probably Michigan or Bama.
I'm not picking Michigan.
Michigan, I think that's unknown. I mean, they're good.
And Loyola's going to get there. It's too good a story.
Sister Jean's got some mystical power.
They've already done it once. They're going to have to beat Oregon State and then maybe Syracuse. You telling me they can't beat Syracuse?
And Buddy Boeheim shoot the lights out.
Buddy Boeheim. The best line I heard about that whole thing was that of all the guys that got paid under the table, Buddy Boeheim got paid under the table. My dad.
That was his kid.
Right. So, it's great. That's good stuff. It's been an interesting tournament. A lot of overtime games. A lot of bonus swings, cashings.
A lot of upsets.
But my bracket probably is a shambles.
Mine was dead after Ohio State loss. So.
Yeah. Well... Again, I would never bet that game in a million years. Plus, the Summit League makes a shit ton of money with getting to the Sweet 16, let me tell you. But I think the run ends there. We'll break the Sweet 16 format's a little different this year. They're playing Saturday, Sunday, and that's it. No regional semi doubleheaders Thursday or Friday.
No, all the week?
No, it's all on the weekend. All on the weekend this year.
On Wednesday, it's looking at March Madness odds in school.
Yeah, and what sucks for a lot of people today is that people didn't get to watch it when they were at the office because it was Monday. So it's a weird format, weird, again, but that's the way it is. And not going to change. So I'm kind of worn out after doing this show.
You're angry.
I was a little amped up today. I don't know why. Maybe that's good thing. Well, not always, but yeah. Sometimes I tend to get a little overeager on some subjects. But I guess, given the circumstances, I can't be too upset about it. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And you can check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com. For links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina, who is not in the NCAA tournament, will forever and always suck. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, @grantlegend15, TikTok, @grantlegend15, Nimitz, if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care, so please subscribe to your channel.
Thursday, we'll go over a preview of the Sweet 16. We'll go game by game, and we'll preview the FCS weekend. Like we said, not a heck of a lot going on for ranked matchups, but we'll break them down for you anyway. Look ahead to Bison, South Dakota, and a couple of other pieces. And we're also going to start talking NFL draft here pretty soon, Grant. We're not too far away from the second annual Legend of the Loudmouth Live, the draft. Got to start talking about that. Hey, thanks for joining us on the Monday. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth. Catch you later, folks.